This morning's reading is taken from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. The Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Going to pray for Peter before he preaches. Father God, thank you for Peter. Thank you for all the thought and prayer that's gone into this sermon. Pray you would speak by your Spirit through Peter's words and help us to have open and receptive hearts. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Vanessa. Well, good morning. Good to be here. Happy New Year to you. So our reading today is a very ordinary story, isn't it? A baby is born, visitors arrive, bring gifts to the new baby. The kind of story that happens all the time. But perhaps there's a meaning hidden in the stars. You see, the Magi were astronomers. They saw the star. They understood its significance. Now, we don't really know if they were religious people, but they definitely valued the natural world. They let that natural world speak to them. They weren't just passive stargazers who looked out the window at the night sky and then climbed under the duvet and went to sleep. These are people who saw something, recognized its significance, and acted. They set out on a journey. And as they traveled across nations, some commentators have said, from Iran. As they traveled, they continued to study the night sky. They charted the movements of this star, this one twinkling light in this vast constellation of the night sky. It was certainly a kind of astronomical oddity, this unexpected star. These are people who knew and understood the night sky. Yet this one twinkling light was exceptional. And what's more, it was really exceptional in that it didn't just move across the heavens, but it stopped. Now that's weird, isn't it? For some, the natural world is just place of labour, a sweaty face, a resource to exploit, a land to grab. What is nature to you? Does nature point you to God? Are you one of the people who finds it easier to pray when you're out in the countryside? Some people say G-O-D, God, stands for the great outdoors. Does a snowy field make you want to smile? Does a blue sky stir you with hope? Does a really colourful dawn make your heart want to burst? There's something in us, isn't there, that responds to nature. These wise people paid attention to nature, but for one reason, it showed them the way to Jesus. Jesus, the brightest star of all. On their journey, these magi made their way to Herod's palace. You notice that? On they went. And they asked him to shed some light on their path. Why did they go to Herod? Did the heavenly star lead them to Jerusalem and to the palace? Or did etiquette drive them off God's path as they went to collect a visa, to have permission to wander about in Herod's backyard? What was going on there? Were they following the star, being led, and then somehow lost the plot? Or did God lead them? Certainly God used Herod. Who is this guy? Well, he was making Israel great. He was rebuilding the temple. He was creating the fortress of Masada. He had proclaimed himself king of the Jews. He had taken huge personal power. In political terms, Herod was a star. He was one of the great political people. Whatever the reason that these wise people arrived at Herod's palace, they used the opportunity to ask a question. Where is the one born king? They asked that question. They received an answer, which they then evaluated. And they took some parts of their answer on board, and other parts they discarded. They followed Herod's advice to get to Bethlehem. They ignored Herod's advice as they left Bethlehem. He said, "Come back and tell me." They ignored that. Herod, that political star, played his part in guiding them to Jesus. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the calls, the passion, the invitation of political leaders can stir the heart. Sometimes it can call for things that are worth having. Some politicians call for justice and equality. Some politicians stir us. That's why people come to their rallies. There is something about that vision of a changed world which stirs the heart. But it's really clear this, isn't it? The magi, the wise people, followed this star, Herod's star, just as far as it took them on their journey, seeking Jesus, the brightest star of all. What leads you? Herod called together the teachers of the law, didn't he? He had access to the best scholars of his day, the greatest intellectuals, the team most likely to win university challenge. He'd got those people. All these academics were the stars of the academic world. They're the people most likely to be able to answer this question. Where is the one born king? And interestingly, and perhaps unusually in the academic community, the answer seemed to come out of consensus. There was no minority report, no intellectual rebels, no Messiah deniers, no one suggesting that the Messiah was to be found in Bulwell rather than Bethlehem. These were people who were shedding light on the path. They were helping folk find the way to Jesus. But the Magi, these wise people, knew that the academic stars could only take them so far on that journey. These wise people were seeking Jesus, and the academics could only say Bethlehem. They could lead them to the village, but not to the stable. They could lead them so far on the journey. And it's helpful, isn't it, sometimes, to let the academic disciplines press us in our study, our reading of Scripture, our understanding of faith. But that can only lead us so far, cannot lead us all the way to Jesus. If we're to find God, we must keep going beyond the limits of logic and reason, following the Magi, seeking the Christ. It's a walk of faith. Together, we seek Jesus, the brightest star of all. Before we leave these scholars behind, we must ask what sources they consulted. What was their evidence base? Of course, we Christians have that library of resources neatly packaged up as the Old Testament in the Scriptures. But for them, it constituted the best writings from the whole history and culture of the nation. It was history and poetry and philosophy and wisdom. Can I just bear with me? Let me take that broader view for a minute. What do we bring in our culture? And maybe you look at those cultural resources, that cultural heritage, to find inspiration and good things. We can look back for the best that our nation has produced. The science of Mary Anning, the literature of Jane Austen, the compassion of Mary Seacole, the courage of Emmeline Pankhurst, the music of Dua Lipa, and maybe a few men are in that list as well. These are the stars of our history and our culture, and we can follow their curiosity, their art, their discipline. You see, the Magi, these wise people, received guidance from Israel's great cultural heritage, passed on to them via the chief priests and the teachers of the law. These texts, brought these long dead people back to life, brought them into the room, brought their wisdom into this decision. Where is he found? These stars of previous generations pointed towards Christ. But again, they could not lead the wise people to the stable. We can read great literature. We can love great music. We can gaze at glorious art. We can be stirred by that. Our spiritual lives can be stirred up as we seek an experience of God. But it can only take us so far on that journey. It pointed them to Bethlehem, not to the cradle. However much you cultivate your artistic self, your creative side, however much you enjoy the cultural heritage of many nations, these are good things, aren't they? But the journey is not to grade 8 on your chosen musical instrument, to being published, to enjoying the best literature. The journey is the journey to encounter Jesus. By faith, we kneel to worship with the Magi. We worship the brightest star of all. And then, these Magi followed an inner star. Their inner lives they'd cultivated. You can see this hinted at throughout this story. There's a childlike simplicity in their question to Herod, isn't there? They turn up to meet this scheming, powerful, dangerous despot. And they say, "Where's the one born king of the Jews?" This political star who has proclaimed himself king in adult life, who has claimed the title, they say, who is born? Who is completely upstaging you? There's an innocence about that question. It's almost naive. And they open their hearts, don't they? They say why they've come. We have come to worship. It's in such contrast, isn't it, to the hidden motives and scheming words of Herod. The Magi are in touch with their inner lives, with their spiritual selves. From that first moment they saw the star and recognized its significance, they must have seen it and something happened inside, didn't it? To mirror, to see that. And when they reach the stable, they show again they're in touch with their emotions. The reading says they were overjoyed. These are not locked up, calculating, cunning people out of touch. They're just as open as a child. They let the joy roll. Their humility and their generosity are evident as they bow down to Jesus and give their gifts. Their spirit is revealed. Even as they receive that divine dream that guides them for the homeward journey. And notice their courage. This powerful political leader, Herod, surely with spies everywhere, has told them to come back and speak to him. And off they go. By an unfamiliar and unsafe route, they make their way homewards. So these Magi, these wise people, were attentive to the inner star of their spiritual lives. Its light led them on the final steps of their journey. But for what purpose? Not for themselves,
And again, that mirror is evident as we see the selfishness of Herod, trying to secure his own interests, and the utter lack of self-absorption from the Magi. Why have they come? They've come to worship Jesus. The attention is not on them for themselves, it's on Jesus. And we see, don't we, this same pattern in the life of Jesus. We see him as he spends time in nature, as he responds to political leaders, as he debates with academics, as he draws on ancient texts, as he cultivated his inner life. The Magi were truly wise, yet their stardom is outshone by the light of Jesus, the brightest star of all. The Magi brought their worship, they brought their gifts. But what is the effect of them? They bowed before Jesus in worship. What effect did that have? We don't know. And what happened to those gifts, that gold and frankincense and myrrh? What happened to it? A smart novelist would have woven the story of those gifts back in, wouldn't they? We'd have heard about them again. We hear no more. Were they sold for bread on the flight to Egypt? We don't know. So as we enter a new year, we invite Jesus, the brightest star of all, to shine in our lives. We bow in worship. We give our gifts of time and money and devotion. Will those gifts make a difference? Will our worship change things in our own lives and in the world? That story is known to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would lead us to Jesus. We pray that you would take us beyond the place that all these other things can lead us to. Intellect and culture and wisdom and even nature. So many things. We pray that you would lead us to kneel before our Lord Jesus and to give our gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.